Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, despite a warning from their aunt, the kids decided to visit a small cemetery anyway. Well, maybe they should have listened to her.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, share those real ghost stories with us. You can call them in at any time, 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, you get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the massive archive. You just need to sign up, and you can do that through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's with me today.
I am. How are you doing?
I have to say I'm better than you, and I mean that in a very respectful way.
Well, thank
you. Poor Kathy has been really sick.
I have been sick. But you know, it's like I said, I think what I have is what we used to in the olden days called a cold. And today, these days, they call it upper respiratory infection. I think it sounds a lot more interesting today than what we used to. Oh, he just got a cold.
Serious. Yeah.
Yeah. He just got a cold, you know. But, yeah, it's, you know, everybody's got them.
And the bad thing is this time of year where we live, you have a cold and you have allergies on top of your cold.
That's right.
Because I sneeze like 50 times a day right now.
Yeah. So I was wondering, listening to your lead into the show today, and somebody visited a cemetery maybe that they shouldn't have. Did you ever visit anything, go out with friends at night and go into like an old building or an old cemetery or something that you should not have done that? Were you ever warned against going into some place and you did anyway?
Well, not really. The one time I did, we snuck into Joyland Amusement Park, but I was well into my 30s.
Okay, so no one really told you.
I knew better. I know. I was like, I know how to get into Joyland. And they're like, no, you don't. Prove it.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
guys.
So we did. And the funny thing is we all ended up injured. Every single person was bleeding when we got back.
Well, did today, is it still like that?
No, today it looks like.
Have they
like
cleaned it up?
It looks like something out of a scary movie. In fact, they have shot movies down there. It is pretty creepy looking. But back when we snuck in, it was still operational.
Okay.
So I remember we went into the Wacky Shack, which is one of those where you get in your little car and it's really, really, really dark in there. And you kind of go through the Wacky Shack. And so we're walking through the Wacky Shack and all we had was lighters. And maybe we just have one lighter. But anyway, the person dropped it, and it was pitch black. Like, you couldn't see anything. And trying to get about 10 people all turn the same direction, because I'm like, y'all, if you go that way, you're going to fall into the creepy-looking lake thing they have in here. They have, like,
the creepy lake pit. And God only knows how long that water's been there.
And it was just the weirdest thing, trying to communicate with people when you're, like, basically in a cave. And trying to get people to all go the same direction. And so we're all having to, like, put our feet along the rails.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't see anything. So, yeah, we all ended up bleeding by the time we got back to my house. We'd all fallen down.
You're lucky nobody broke an arm or something.
Oh, my God. So lucky. And if they'd have fallen into that, then I don't know how we'd have gotten them out. I don't know.
Did anybody want to turn on the funnel cake machine or anything?
We didn't do that. We did turn on, like, it was so weird, like the kids' rides, the little cars and stuff. Boom, you just turn them on. Just flip the switch.
Just turn them on.
And I'm like, you don't even shut this shit down at night. Like, you could sneak in. And the way we snuck in was we just went underneath. There was towards the back of the amusement park. There was a little creek. So it had a bridge. The bridge went over the little creek. The little creek had very little water in it. At that time, we just walked under the bridge and we were in. We didn't have to scale a fence.
I'm telling you, though, I don't think there's anything. Well, I shouldn't say anything, but there are very few things that I find creepier or scarier than abandonment abandoned amusement parks. And there are websites dedicated to that.
Yeah. So,
and sometimes, just to creep myself out, I get online and I just look at these pictures and it just creeps me out of, like, you know, decaying, decrepit amusement park rides and, you know, clowns and, like, this old signage and stuff. It's so creepy.
And I know that Tony and I talked about this on an episode several years ago, but they had this Louis the Clown. And Louis the Clown sat at this keyboard, fake keyboard. And Louis the Clown played creepy clown music. And his hands would just kind of go back and forth like he's fake playing the piano.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy who had worked at Joyland for years. And apparently, when it closed, he stole Louis the Clown. And he moved Louis the Clown into his house. And nobody could find the frickin' Louis the Clown. And so,
oh my gosh,
for years.
And the guy,
yeah, the guy ends up getting arrested for something. I don't remember what it was. He got in some trouble for something. They find Louis the Clown in his house.
Do you think that's a surprise that he got in trouble for something?
I think, like, he had Louis the Clown for nefarious reasons. I don't know.
So
they get Louis the Clown back. And this just showed up in my Facebook memories in the past week. But they get Louis the Clown back and they have a press conference. So here's, like, the chief of police at this press conference, you know, with a police backdrop behind him, you know, the Step and Repeat banner. So they're up there doing the press conference and they have Louis the Clown sitting at a chair. Like, the victim is sitting with them at this press conference.
That is so weird.
So then immediately there's a Louis the Clown Twitter page. And it was so funny because Louis the Clown was tweeting just mean ass shit to everybody.
Well, that begs the question, where is Louis the Clown now?
I don't know. He might have been donated to, like, the Historical Society or something.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't want him.
No.
Now I need to know. Where is Louis? I'm going to see if I can just Google
see if you can
this.
Find out where Louis the Clown
is. Where is Louis the Clown now? It says, I don't know where he is now, but Louis the Clown, it says, had quite an intriguing journey. This is the AI thing that pops up. After delighting park visitors for years, Louis mysteriously disappeared for nearly a decade. But fear not, for the tale of Louis has twists and turns worthy of a circus act. Oh, here it is. I forgot about this part. Nefarious is right. Here's the scoop. Louis was found in the most unexpected of places, the home of a convicted sex offender named Damien Mays. He was a former employee at Joyland, was the keeper of Louis's secrets and the repairer of his whimsical organ. That sounds nasty.
Oh, my. I think AI needs to rethink some of their writing strategies here.
Yeah, so there was an organization, the Historic Preservation Alliance of Wichita and Sedgwick County. They were the ones trying to find the clown. They searched tirelessly for him. And then, so Louis will be, I don't know if he has been, I would think he has been, reunited with his rightful owner, Margaret Nelson Spear, who holds the keys to his future. I don't know what she's doing with him.
That's weird.
So it says, Louis's legacy lives on, even if it involves a detour through a sex offender's house.
Well, could you just imagine having a weird clown that played the organ in your house? Like, that's really creepy stuff there. Sometimes with my students, I ask them random questions, you know, just to start the day, you know, do attendance. And I say, you know, like, what are you afraid of or something? And clowns are right up there.
Mm-hmm.
If one person says a clown, then the whole room goes, oh my God, yeah. You know, they all go, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Clowns. Nobody likes clowns. And when we were kids, it was like, I don't know, they were supposed to be funny or something. And we were supposed to, you know, as kids, want to dress up like clowns and be clowns. And, you know, it's weird. I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but tell me more about this.
The cemetery?
Cemetery.
So here's the story.
People weren't supposed to go to.
It says, I don't know that they weren't supposed to, but they were warned. So okay. It says, my name is Aubrey. Considering my dad's son and I all have the same name, I go by Bubba. with that, I'll move ahead with today's story. No, I wouldn't say story. Let's say retelling of true events. Bum, bum, bum. My cousins and I were at my great aunt's house with our parents, and we were terribly bored. So we asked if we could go across the street and hang out at the cemetery. We were told we could, so long as we respected those who were resting there. We began to leave when my great aunt asked, "Y'all want to go to the graveyard this close to sunset?" We said, "Sure, why not?" And my great aunt said, "Kids, if Emma's there, don't disturb her visit, because she doesn't like it, and she'll get you." I was trying to sound like a great aunt. I don't know if I did it or not. I thought that was a strange thing to say, but I didn't pay any attention because I figured it was her elderly mind, and off we went. I had five cousins with me, three females and two males. We walked down my aunt's long driveway, then crossed the small dirt road to the cemetery. It's called Holland Cemetery, and it's a small cemetery in a small town. It's the type of cemetery with some very old headstones at that time, and the weather stripped it of any pertinent information. There's also a dirt road that zigzags through. It seems like the type of graveyard in small town that really doesn't need headstones because everyone knows everyone, and in turn, where everyone's buried. It gives off a vibe of peace and serenity, but still looks creepy enough to make you want to be gone before sundown, which may explain why there is nothing stolen, destroyed, or tagged by graffiti artists. We hung out for a while, and then my female cousins were ready to leave because the sun was about to be gone for the night. We were heading toward my aunt's house when we noticed a woman standing at a grave. She didn't say anything or even acknowledge us as we strolled by. I did get a weird vibe as we passed by. We were all wondering where she came from. We had no idea. I commented about how old her dress looked, and my cousin said, "I know," and started laughing. She turned and looked, and her eyes were mad. Then she started running after us. As we ran, I turned to see if she was still coming. Her eyes were angry and red like two hot coals. Also, she seemed not to be running, but gliding. So we ran to the road between the graveyard and my great aunt's house. We got to the other side of my great aunt's driveway. I turned to see how far behind she was, but she was gone. Poof. Two of my cousins told me that her eyes were glowing red and she was floating. Since I hadn't shared that with anyone, I had to smile because I knew that wasn't just me. I don't think that would make me smile. That would make me like, "Oh, you saw it too? Ah, shit." We turned to my great aunt's house, all sweaty and out of breath. I guess we looked pale because my cousin's mom said, "Y'all look like y'all have seen a ghost." Then my aunt looked around and said, "Y'all must have met Emma. Well, I tried to warn y'all." So that's the retelling of events for today. I want to add that later, I discovered that Emma was a mother with a newborn baby. She died in a car accident years ago with her baby. For some reason, instead of being buried by her baby, she was buried several rows over. No one knows for sure why she stands at the grave. It has been said that if you interrupt her visit, she will chase you off. Most kids don't believe it, but as my cousins and I found out, it is all too real. Thank you guys for doing the show and giving us all an outlet to share our paranormal experiences and listen to the experiences of others without feeling judged. Keep up the great work. So, Wow. Well, I guess great aunt was right.
Yeah. Apparently, she already knew about this phenomenon with this woman.
But if you live across the street from the cemetery, yeah, she's probably heard all the stories.
And I'm guessing this was a while back, right? Just kind of by the way she told this story.
Well, it's Bubba told the story. But he did say at the beginning, considering my dad's son and I.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. Bubba has a kid. So this would have been when Bubba was a kid.
Okay.
So, yes. So it's one of those things you do as a kid.
I'm wondering where exactly this is. And, is this still going on?
Well,
do people still know about
this? The legend
of
it is still going on.
Yeah.
Let's
see. But I'm wondering if there's other people that have encountered this in recently, or, you know, if she's crossed. And it's interesting that for some reason, if she was not buried with the baby, that seemed very strange to me, too.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I just wonder if this is, if there's still these appearances, is all I was wondering.
My guess is.
I mean, I'm going to go with it because it sounds completely, everybody saw it. Other people saw it.
Well, and the thing with the eyes, you know, mm-hmm. and the gliding, and that's what he saw and that's what they saw.
Right.
It also does seem like one of those stories that happen when you're a kid and you kind of, you scare each other too. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it just sounds like they were just over there not looking for anything scary. They just went over there to walk around the cemetery. And then yeah. it wasn't even dark yet completely. The great aunt wow. told him, and sure yeah. enough.
She seemed to know about it.
Now, the next story is pretty interesting. So it says, I have many stories, having had paranormal experiences my entire life, but today I'm going to tell you about the creepiest one I've experienced so far. I went to college in Philadelphia and had a weekly DJ night at one of the local clubs. It was about 2:30 a.m., and a friend gave me and my girlfriend a ride home. We asked them to drop us off about 3 blocks away from our apartment at a Wawa, which is basically a convenience store in Philly with made-to-order sandwiches. I'm glad they said that because I would have no idea what a Wawa was. We were hungry, so we wanted to grab something to eat before we got home. I want to preface this by saying I was not drunk. Since it was a school night, I didn't have my usual free bottomless liquor while playing records. We got our sandwiches and started walking down the street to our apartment. Across the street, coming towards us, I saw this tall, dark figure almost gliding along, not really taking actual steps, which is interesting. The same thing with the last story.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was something harmful. It was Philly, after all, and it's never a matter of if you get mugged, but more like when. I noticed my girlfriend picking up the pace, so I also kept an eye on this figure while doing so. At one point, we were directly across the street from each other. I looked over and stared right into its green cat-like eyes and disheveled short-cut hair. Keep in mind that at this time, I desperately needed glasses. So seeing someone's actual facial details from a distance was impossible for me, let alone at night. The second we locked eyes, I felt terrible inside, horrible dread, sadness, and fear. At this point, my girlfriend was in a full-on sprint as I stood there staring back at whatever this was. I started to run as well and looked back a few seconds later to see that the figure had completely vanished. There were no streets or alleys for them to duck into. It's like they just vanished into thin air. As soon as we got to our apartment, we were both panicking, not talking yet, but desperately trying to get the keys into the door so we could run into our apartment for safety. We got inside, locked the door, and peered out the window. We were in a corner apartment and could easily see multiple directions on the streets below. My girlfriend, at the time, looks at me and said, as white as a ghost, "Did you see that?" All while trembling, I said, "Yes, you saw it too?" She then proceeded to tell me that she just saw a gray smoky blur gliding up the street in our direction, and that's why she began sprinting so fast. I explained to her what I saw, including the full details of a person with green cat-like eyes. We were terrified for the rest of the night, barely slept, and I kept looking out the windows, convinced this person or thing was going to come back and find me. Fast forward a couple of years later, we had broken up and I was dating someone else. We went to college together and she had previously done a photo project with several of Philly's infamous drag queens. The new girlfriend had. One day we were flipping through the photos she had taken and I saw her. Green cat eyes, long, beautiful black hair, the exact same person I saw that night. I told my girlfriend the story and she said, "April, that was the drag queen that was murdered and the case still hasn't been solved." I almost threw up. I remember hearing the story of this drag queen who had gotten picked up by the police, later found in an alley, beaten to death with her head bashed in. The police swear they had just dropped her off and the incident happened after they had already left her. Ever since that night, I wonder why she chose to show herself to me. Why didn't my girlfriend see her at the time? If you want, you can check out an article on this person's death so you can see, get a look at the face I saw that night. Unfortunately, the photos don't show her green cat eye trademark contacts. Anyways, like I said earlier, I have tons of stories. We'll definitely write in with more, but I felt like this was the best one to start with, April. So there is a link to this story, and it's from a Daily Beast article. And it said, cops covered up trans woman's mysterious death. And there's a picture of her. And it says, something violent happened in Niza Morris between the time police picked her up and when she was found bleeding and unconscious in the street. Dispatch records show Officer Elizabeth Scala responded to a 911 call from a bar in Philadelphia's Gayborhood section of Center City on December 22, 2002. There she encountered Morris, a transgender woman who had been living as female since the 70s. Because the byline, the subheadline says, police were supposed to take Niza Morris to the hospital, but minutes later she was found bleeding in the street. Then the deception began.
How do you spell that name?
N-I-Z-I-H. So there's a Wikipedia page. So I don't know. It's interesting that that story happened and then April would see her. Her girlfriend at the time obviously saw something too. They didn't see exactly the same thing. But I think it's interesting that they both saw something. And that for April, who desperately needed glasses, she shouldn't have seen that because she couldn't see that far.
Yeah.
But she did. So it's almost like in her head she saw it. I don't know.
But it felt like the friend saw more just of a smoky gray cloud.
Yeah, but that scared her.
With the figural form, with maybe kind of in a figurative form.
Yeah.
But was very, very frightened by it.
But don't you think, like with Niza, because it said the medical examiner's office classified Morris's death as a homicide. However, the police department's homicide unit refused to accept this ruling, classified Morris's death as accidental, and requested a second opinion from a brain injury specialist. It just makes me think it's one of those cases of unfinished business and a death that is suspicious. And I could see, you know, if you died in a way that was being covered up, whether it really was or not, I don't know. I can't say.
Yeah.
But with that unfinished business, you would want to get your story out there. I could see how you and haunt the same place.
Well, I don't think you could be at peace.
No.
Until it was resolved.
Exactly.
So it makes sense to me that, you know, she would show up sometimes.
That was a really creepy story.
That really was.
You know, that's the thing. When you think of ghosts, you think of ghosts in Victorian garb. You don't think of fabulous drag queens.
I know.
You know, you think of old-timey clothing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, wow. I just think that is interesting. So if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in, 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, you can become a premium subscriber anytime you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free, or go through patreon.com/realghoststories or more info at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.